On the second Sunday of Advent, I'd like to reflect a little bit on the sacrament of baptism. It might seem a little funny to pair that with Advent, but in a sense, baptism is the beginning of Christ's coming in our personal lives. In baptism, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Blessed Trinity, and so it's kind of fitting to talk about it today. Before our baptism, we are merely creatures who have the potential of living in communion with God. And after we've been baptized, that potential is actualized. We actually receive that life of God. Baptism removes original sin. It cleanses our souls of that ancient wound that our human nature suffered from the devil and from the sin of our first parents. Baptism protects and strengthens a person from the spiritual assaults of the enemy, which there are many out there. Baptism takes immediate effect. It makes us sons and daughters of God. We don't earn this grace, it's merely a gift that we receive and submit to the authority of Christ. In baptism, we go from being under the authority of the devil to being under the authority of Christ. And that's why it's so important that we receive this gift, if at all possible. It protects us from those spiritual assaults. And thus, baptism isn't merely a ceremony, it's not just a rite of passage. It's the beginning of a covenantal relationship. A particular relationship, a way of living in union with Christ and His church. In today's world, many people decide to forgo baptism, or sometimes people are choosing to have their children baptized, but they never really raise their child in the practice of the faith. This is a great concern, a cause for great concern, because in doing so, the parents and godparents are not really upholding their duty that they have agreed to in the baptismal ceremony. When is it the proper time to seek baptism, we might ask? Jesus tells us that in order to have life in Him, we need to be baptized. It's a foundational sacrament. Tradition, our Catholic tradition, has long taught and recognized that God can work outside of the sacraments. So we don't despair of those who have not received baptism. We don't despair of infants who die in the womb and so forth. We entrust them to God's goodness and love and mercy. But that being said, whenever possible, we ought to baptize someone who is suitably prepared and ready for the sacrament and desiring it. Because baptism is that foundation upon which the life of Christ rests, and all the other sacraments that we receive are tied to this first beginning. If we're not baptized, we can't really receive those other sacraments. It protects us from evil. It also disrupts or overturns any evil that has taken hold in someone's life for whatever reason. With so many unusual situations in today's world that arise, circumstances that we find ourselves dealing with, there are all kinds of people coming to the church seeking baptism for themselves or for their children. And so when it's appropriate, we should baptize. We might say, when is it? When do we know that someone's ready to be baptized? Well, if someone's near death, it's always a good time to baptize them if they're willing and ready to receive that sacrament. So if someone's approaching death and requests to be baptized, we should baptize them as soon as possible. You know, the proper minister of baptism is a priest or a deacon, but in a case of emergency, anyone can baptize. So if you ever find yourself in that strange situation where someone is dying and there's not a priest around, you can baptize them. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pour water over their head as you say those words, and they will be baptized. In those times when there's kind of different kinds of circumstances, the church waives a lot of the normal expectations and requirements. We trust that God's grace and mercy is bigger than all these things. We want to prepare someone. We want to do a good job that they're ready to receive that sacrament. But in those cases, the church says, let's err on the side of being generous and offering that sacrament. The usual way the church determines whether or not someone is ready to be baptized is we ask the question, are they living in an established relationship with Christ and His church? And until that reality is present, the baptismal graces won't be able to have their full effect. In a sense, it can be even a mockery of the sacrament if the parents and godparents pledge their intention of raising this child in the faith and they really don't have the intention of doing so. To be frank then, what I'm saying is, for an infant to be baptized, the child should be living in a home where the faith is being practiced and practiced regularly. Regular prayer, regular mass attendance, these should be the norm. Now there's always going to be certain cases where there's exceptions and circumstances that require a conversation. That's why normally prior to baptism, we have a preparation process. Now for adults seeking baptism, they should also be determining and discerning this question. Am I ready to live the Christian life? Am I really intending to be faithful to this life that I'm looking at? That's why we have the process of RCA for those who are discerning just the Christian life or even the Catholic life. And so we encourage them to go through this process of discernment. Am I ready to live this way? The rite of baptism speaks about the fact that there should be a founded hope that the baptized person will be living in a relationship with Christ and nourished in the faith. When that founded hope is not present, there really shouldn't be a baptism happening until that has been remedied. So we should be looking to say, is everything in place here to make this baptism fruitful in this person's life? Now we all know that that hasn't always been the practice of the church. A lot of times we baptize children who live in families who never even darken the door of the church, or very rarely do so. Some would say, well, at least we're giving them this sacrament. There might be some, we could argue about that, but I would argue that it sends the wrong message very often. Being baptized should mean something. It should stand for something. It should mean that we are living in a certain way. It should mean that we are committing ourselves and striving to live out those baptismal promises. It should mean that we intend to live this life of Christianity. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to live it perfectly or that I'm never going to make any mistakes. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that I'm intending to live in union with Christ in this church. And it's we baptize faith, which is present and alive, not merely potential or theoretical. So this brings up the question, why do we baptize infants at all, right? If it needs to be a choice of this person and so forth. So for an adult, yes, they need to have freely chosen this. We don't want to baptize someone who doesn't want to be baptized. For an infant, we look at it a little different. Why not wait until the child is grown and old and can make their own choice, some might say. And there are times when we should wait. You know, if it's an adolescent or someone who's already able to reason, they should have some say and they should really be the primary decision makers in that case. But if we're talking about an infant, we think about an infant. They rely on their parents for so many different things, right? What they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to go to school, maybe even who their friends are, whether they like it or not. You know, what are all these things that we kind of guide this child in doing and growing and so forth? So it's kind of ridiculous to say that in the area of religion, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to put anything in place until they're 16, 18 years old and they can make their free decision at that point. Really, in the church, confirmation is sort of takes that place of the child is raised in the faith, and at a certain point, they say, yes, I want to continue in this faith. And I want to continue as an adult to live out this invitation that I've already been raised in. So it's illogical to not baptize an infant from that perspective. In Mark's Gospel today, we hear this call, this clear call, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, echoing the words of Isaiah, the prophet. John the Baptist comes on the scene calling people from all over in the area of Jerusalem and the Judean countryside. He's calling them to be a baptism of repentance. And he alludes to the fact that Christ will come after him, baptizing in the Holy Spirit. So in this year of 2020, I think we should heed John's call. We do need to prepare the way of the Lord. That is what baptism is all about. It's preparing the way of the Lord in our lives. We can renew our baptismal graces. We can renew our commitment to Christ. We can, once again, seek to protect our lives, our faith, and receive that protection which our faith offers to us from the many lifestyles and choices out there that can infringe upon our faith. We as a society, we have lots of areas where we're vulnerable to the occult, the New Age ideologies, a new paganism that's out there, the worship of created things rather than the true God. It has subtly crept into our entertainment, I would say, or even into our education systems, and so it's good for us to be baptized and renew that baptismal promise. Baptism binds us to Christ It supersedes any other covenants or any other relationships that try to overtake it. So it's good for us to rely on God and renew ourselves in that. And it safeguards us from falling away from Christ. So today, instead of praying the creed like we normally do at Mass, I'd like to invite you to renew your baptismal promises. So I'll ask you a series of questions. I invite you to respond, "I do," after each question, if you are in fact intending to live the Christian faith. So this time I invite you to please stand. So I ask you these questions. Do you reject Satan and all of his works and all of his empty promises? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? God, the all-powerful Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and forgiven us our sins. May he also keep us faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we prepare to pray our petitions.